It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Christian Arcan, and a crowd full of people right outside this window behind my back here at Fenway Park. And we are broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. Okay, this Jaylen Brown situation has gotten to the point where now I'm starting to question who's the bad guy in all this. Because for a while, a lot of people are saying, you know, Jaylen, if you just would have kept your mouth shut, blah, 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 blah. But now I'm starting to think that you might have a bigger problem. And that problem is this new owner might be cheap.
John Henry is loving every minute of this, by the way. He's like, yes, welcome. Please turn on Chisholm.
Yeah, this is because we don't know. We all admit that we have no idea how this is going to go. We don't know anything really about how this owner spends, what he does. Last season seemed to make a lot of sense. You know, I mean, I know you needed to shed some salary, but it was all understandable. But Jaylen Brown is a star, and Jaylen Brown is obviously somebody that was offered up in trade, and, you know, things didn't work out, but you thought that Brad Stevens would have a great plan B no matter what. There's no way you would put your star out there to dangle.
Well, the only thing with that is, Arcan, this is the fourth time, right, he's been traded or attempted to be traded, so this goes back pre-Chisholm, so you try to trade him for Duran, and Bill Chisholm had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes pre-Stevens, too. I mean, this goes back to
Hawaii.
Goes back to when Danny Ainge was running things. So I think that, yeah, it's just been so common, and there was a bit of a break. I feel like there was like a three-year break where you didn't even hear any rumors. And then, you know, after they won the championship, you didn't hear a lot about that either until the Durant thing popped back up. But, yeah, it's
and you could say Jaylen Brown is not Brad Stevens' guy in the sense that he was Danny Ainge's guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the weird situation that we're in now is that they originally moved for Giannis. That didn't work.
Right.
Then you started hearing a bunch of names that weren't as good as Jaylen Brown being offered up there, and that wasn't any good. There was Jaylen Duren from the Detroit. There's Evan Mobley from the Cavs. A couple other names are thrown out there. There was the Trey Murphy, of course. There was Minnesota, who ended up picking LaMelo Ball over Jaylen Brown. That was a little strange. And now what we're hearing from Shams Charania this morning is that Brad Stevens is willing to trade Jaylen Brown for four first-round picks, which is the dumbest move. I can't believe that. Boy, that pisses me off. Because that means you are going to waste several years of Jason Tatum's prime on a couple drafts that apparently aren't any good. According to Jeff Goodman, who we had on, who, as I said, knows everything about college basketball, he straight up told us these next several drafts aren't there. There's really not going to be a lot of superstars that come out of it. So that's what you're cashing things in for the chance to possibly get somebody who's as good as Jaylen Brown. But when it comes to Jaylen Brown and where his head's at, this has been dug up. This was from a year ago. And Chris Mannix, who we've had on the show many times, He sat down with Jaylen Brown and asked him about how his name constantly is brought up in trade rumors. And Jaylen Brown said this about having him almost seems like every season there's some sort of talk about him being traded for somebody and how he deals with all that. Let's take a listen.
I mean, you've been through a lot in the city, you know, from the very beginning, you know, when they booed the draft pick itself on draft night because they wanted a deal. Every summer, you're in trade rumors. I guess maybe it's more the question of when you think back at these last 6 years or so, how challenging were they to you?
Very, very challenging. Things have not gone my way. I haven't been catered to in a sense, which has made me stronger. It has made me a better player, has driven me. I can complain. But in reality, it made me the best. So I'm grateful for it. Even if it was indirect, I know that wasn't intentional. You know, I don't think, you know, the organization was, it was intentional. But it is what it is. It made me better.
Sounds like you used every bit of that as fuel.
Yeah, and I still am. A lot of stuff has transpired in this organization, and I understood it. I didn't complain. I didn't have an agent call and complain or the way some of these other guys do. I just let it make me better, and it fueled me, and it's still fueling me now.
I love how, like, sports shows think that you won't pay attention unless there's some cool music in the background.
But I wonder if that's aggregated music. You know, we found this clip. Let's put music under it after the fact.
Sure. Unlicensed, royalty free. Unlicensed and royalty free.
Richard's favorite.
Yeah, absolutely is my favorite. But that one was like smooth jazz. And then you've got Jalen talking all smooth. And I was starting to get a little ASMR thing in my headphones here. I'm starting to get like my hair was standing up straight. But no. But
that is interesting, though.
I do like what he said, though. But see, to me, I love that he said that, like, because that's what you want to hear.
But that's Tracy McGrady reporting that, you know, that he's got a problem deep within the organization, right? That's him saying, I haven't been catered to. A lot of stuff going on in the organization.
Supermax contracts not catering?
Yeah, like, seriously. You know?
Come on.
But you also understand that Supermax contract or not, his name is always thrown out there. And if you're Jaylen Brown, I think it's healthy for you to go, well, I'm going to use that as motivation. I want to prove them wrong. I truly think that all of those rumors of him being traded have made him a better player. I think that last year when he had the shot to show the world how good he was with on his own, where he didn't have to have Jason Tatum, I think that's why he went off. And I love that. Like that, that's how you take something that could affect you negatively and turn it around and turn it into a positive. Pitbull talks about that all the time in his music. Turn that negative into a positive.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what? If anyone's living the Pitbull lifestyle, it's Jalen Brown right now. So good on him.
He is Mr. Worldwide.
He is Mr. Worldwide. Everyone's talking about
that song. Has Neo in it too?
It doesn't have.
Yeah.
At least you pronounced that one correctly.
Thank you.
There you go. I'm like whale.
Trying to rebuild my cred.
Sure, of course. And the cred is back. You never lost the cred. Come on, man. But it has gotten to an interesting place where I want to know from you guys, and you as well, listening 617-779-7937. We are at a point now where they're offering 4 picks for Jaylen Brown. Why is that? Is it because A, the owners are cheap, they want to shed salary, and they don't want to have to pay for that extension? Is it B, because Brad Stevens isn't a very good GM, and he is about to mortgage the future? He's about to blow several good years of Jason Tatum just in order to get some picks to build up, try to get some new players in here. Or is it C, Jaylen Brown has sent a message that no matter what, he doesn't want to play her anymore?
I think it's...
Is there a D? I think those are your three,
well,
right?
I think it's B with an asterisk. I think Brad is a good GM, but he's too good in this case. He wanted to win the Giannis trade and not come out, you know, feeling like a loser because he gave up more than his internal value for his picks in Jaylen Brown. But he needed to get that job done, and he did not do it. Now, this year at the trade deadline, horrible trade for Vucevic. That was partially ownership driven, and so was the whole year, right, Arkan? So there's some ownership Definitely. Stuff going on. But in this case, if they were willing to trade for Giannis, then they were going to get a second max guy, and they would have had to have given him an extension. So I believe the owners in that case would have been willing to pony up.
Yeah, they would have for Giannis. I think you're right in that sense. I think it's probably A with a little bit of B in the sense that ownership probably told Brad, getting knocked out in the first and second round is not acceptable for two max players. Mm-hmm. This much money, that's way too expensive to be getting knocked out in the first round. So there's new financial constraints he has to operate under, and one of them just so happens to be, okay, well, you got two max guys, that's where all your money's tied up in. And if you can make the team better, because Giannis, the promise of Giannis is it makes the team better, right?
Yes, right.
Giannis is an upgrade from Jaylen Brown.
Giannis, if you, can if make you have the that team better, you can legit argue that we didn't win a championship.
We'll let you do that, but if you can't do that, then this is too much money we have invested into a first round and out team. And so do something about that and figure it out however you can.
I think you're right. Yeah. Christian, you said it better than I could have. I think that's exactly what's going on. Is they said, if you can get Giannis, great. But if you can't, we're getting rid of him. We don't want to have to spend that kind of money. Get somebody who's less expensive. See if you can solve the problem. Let's see how good of a GM you are. But 4 first round picks, what are we doing? And if this is Brad and this isn't ownership and Brad completely dropped the ball and Brad had no plan B, do you understand that this is going to go down? If they end up trading Jaylen Brown for 4 first round picks, that changes everything that I think about Brad Stevens.
That's the end of Tatum's prime. I mean, you said like part of his prime. It's the end of his prime, you know, because then you have to develop the players that you draft. And I think that, you know, splitting up the Jays is kind of traumatizing for Celtics fans anyway. Like, that's a tough thing. But if you're trading him for 4 picks, you're trading him for the future beyond the Jason Tatum era, right? Like, Tatum signed till 2030, I think.
Yep.
So if you 4 first round picks, count them out, 27, 28, 29, 30, boom, there it is. And then those guys develop, and is Tatum even still here after that?
Well, Danny Green, I don't know if you have the clips, Sis, if you don't, I've got the quote here. But Danny Green was on ESPN, and he was saying that unless somebody else is willing to give up another franchise guy for Boston, why would you break up this duo? And that's my whole thing. It's like everybody I've heard isn't as big of a star as Jaylen Brown is. I mean, you're getting pennies on the dollar if you make that trade. And but the only thing that's worse than that is getting picks. Like, that's insane. Am I the only one who thinks this?
No, Perk obviously said it very well. We played that clip last hour. He's just blaming Brad. Brad screwed up, right? He's out of his mind. He blew the honest trade. He had no plan B. Now, currently on Kalshi. I know we say Kalshi a lot, but I love
Kalshi. I'm a big fan.
Jaylen Brown's next team, Portland Trail Blazers, 15%. Let's say if he goes to Portland and you get back three players and two picks or something like that. Is that palatable if he goes there for...
What superstar are you getting?
Jeremy Grant?
No.
Scoot Henderson?
No.
Donovan Clingan?
Stop.
And three firsts?
No, stop. Stop.
That's what you're looking at.
I don't know how
Portland. Portland has no superstar.
Avija's their only real star.
Yeah.
I'd take him, maybe, but like I need him and more. I need more than that for it to be palatable.
I know I said this yesterday, but I keep getting these awful feelings of getting rid of Kendrick Perkins for Jeff Green and Anad Kristen.
I haven't thought about the Nad this much in like a long time.
At least the Nad was like a dreamboat.
Yeah.
At least he was like a cover model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're
a little up top there. I remember. Yeah.
I can't talk trash on
that. Sure you can. Neither can Ken.
Do you remember when Kendrick Perkins got traded? Do you remember his first photo with the publicity photo they took with the Thunder? He looked like somebody killed his puppy. He was holding. You can find it. He's holding the basketball, and he looks so sad. God, I remember that.
What about the Chauncey Billups? That's kind of heralded as the worst trade ever, right, in Celtics history?
Pretty bad one.
That's pretty bad. This would be...
Popeye Jones?
This would change people's perception forever of Brad Stevens if he let Jaylen Brown walk for picks.
Brad Stevens, you dropped the ball.
Yes, you did, Kendrick Perkins. You absolutely did. All right, we'll take your call. 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Oh, yeah, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, Christian Arcan here in studio down at the lovely Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And the drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Arcan was just yelling at a guy in a Dunkin's outfit walking up Lansdowne Street.
Yeah, that guy was cool.
He looked like Gene Shalit.
He did. Full by the whole suit. He had the pants, the jacket, everything. Kind of hot for that whole getup, I think.
My new obsession is, and by the way, there's this huge window here at the Fenway Studio where you can look out on Lansdowne. We're right, you know, across from the House of Blues. And my new obsession is trying to find someone with a Red Sox jersey that has the name on the back of a currently playing player who is not injured.
It's tough to find.
And it's really tough to find. Like, there's a lot of Big Poppy. I saw J.D. Martinez.
I saw Bregman just now.
Really?
Okay, there you go.
Collector's item.
But I'm telling you, it took us, what was it? Oh, Rafael. Okay, there's a Rafael. I see one. There we go. All right. But yesterday it took us like an hour, I think, to find somebody with a currently playing player on it who is not injured. There was a Roman Anthony, you know, that I saw, but obviously he was injured, so not considered. It is weird. It is very strange that there's not many. Like, we were asking yesterday if you went to the clubhouse right now or if you went to the souvenir store, what the number one selling jersey would be if somebody wasn't injured. And what did we find out that it was?
My guess was Jaren Duran. He was number one. And two was Contreras.
Contreras. Jaren Duran and Contreras, which, by the way, I don't see any Contreras. I don't think I've ever seen a Contreras.
I saw one yesterday as I was leaving. It was the first time I've seen one.
Would it surprise you? Quick baseball nugget here. We talked a lot of baseball first hour with Bradfo. You can go back and listen to that if you'd like. However, that report about Marcelo Meyer from Sean McAdam.
Can I read that?
Yeah.
Okay, because that is...
This is rough.
This one's rough. Okay, so what we've been saying about Chad Tracy and what we've been saying about this team is that, you know, they're historically bad. They're awful. And usually when teams are as bad as this, there ends up being some sort of locker room sniping, drama that comes out. You know, God knows when the whole chicken and beer stuff and, like, you know, I mean, remember the Adrian Gonzalez years and everything with Bobby Valentine? Things can get really... all of us have seen what happens when really bad teams, like, turn on each other.
Yeah.
But it's been quiet. For a team being this bad, it's been relatively quiet. And the whole time I've been thinking, well, maybe, just maybe, Chad Tracy has something to do with that. Because, I mean, you know, a good manager can kind of keep that stuff in house. A good coach on a football team can keep that stuff in house. We saw that with, I used to rip on Mike Tomlin all the time. I used to hate Mike Tomlin. But then you found out what he was dealing with behind the scenes, the type of characters like Antonio Brown and that whole crew that was over there, and he kept things somewhat quiet until they left and became maniacs. Yeah. Like, as soon as they left, like, everyone, no one was able to control him, but Tomlin did a good job. And that's what a great manager or a great coach can do. He can turn a caustic team and a caustic clubhouse into one that keeps everything amongst themselves. But this right here might be where the dam broke. Mm-hmm. So there's a new article that came out, Sean McAdam. And according to Sean McAdam, it says some in the Red Sox organization question Marcelo Meyer's mental toughness, his tendency to withdraw during slumps, and his willingness to play through inevitable minor physical issues. Now, once again, it says some in the Red Sox organization. We don't know if it's teammates. We don't know if it's someone in the front office. All I know is that somebody wanted Sean McAdam to have that. And I also know that Sean McAdam's had many conversations with John Henry off the record, yeah. According to Sean McAdam, when he talked to us. Now, I'm not, of course, drawing a line from A to B.
Yeah, well.
It doesn't sound like teammates are saying that. That doesn't sound like something a teammate would say.
It doesn't, but
it's also a shot at a guy who's at least played 70 games compared to the other guy he's lumped with, Roman. How many games has Roman been on the field for? So at least he's out there. He's not having a good year. But it does make you wonder, and that was my question. Do you think they're so down on Meyer, they're going to move him before the trade deadline? This is one of those years they're going to just better off in a new location. It's not working out.
Well, we've seen preemptive smear campaigns happen before.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe this is kind of, you know, setting things up. Although I don't, they usually do that for people who are fan favorites. You know, like people are like, oh my gosh, we have to figure out a reason for the fans to turn on this person that they love.
He was the fourth pick in the draft, so he's kind of a fan favorite by default. Like, you expected a lot from him. He's always been a high-ranking prospect. And before the year, Cora was so down on him, he wouldn't guarantee his position on the roster. Remember, he was like, I don't know, he's got to make the team first.
Yeah.
So they've been very tough on him for whatever reason. And
he hasn't exactly risen to the occasion either.
I guess
though.
Not.
I mean, that's the problem.
I guess not.
I wouldn't trade him now because what value does he have? I think you maybe like consider shutting him down.
Is that the worst thing you could say about a player? Is questioning their toughness?
Yeah, I wish Ted was here. He could answer that. But I would assume he would answer, hell yes. You're saying you're soft.
Yeah,
basically.
Right. You're calling him a puss. It says, this is so wild. He goes, they question Marcelo Meyer's mental toughness, his tendency to withdraw during slumps, and his willingness to play through inevitable minor physical issues.
And
so basically, so that is not just mentally, but physically soft is what he's being called by someone within the organization.
Yeah.
And Sean McAdam is, once again, he is not somebody who just makes stuff up. He doesn't create drama out of nowhere. This is from people he's talked to, and he talks to John Henry a lot.
Now, maybe the clubhouse hasn't opened yet because I thought Bradford was going to ask, they're going to try to talk to Marcelo, I'm sure, about these comments, how he handles that. What do you think Marcelo will say to this? Like, Bradford kind of blew it off as, well, he's just going to say, I can't control what people think about me.
Or just say, listen, I'm just here to play baseball, and, you know, I'm just trying to do the best I can every day. But sometimes you can tell by how they react to something like that. I mean, that's an awful thing to see written about you. An awful thing.
Oh, as I speak, we just got this breaking news. Marcelo Meyer is going on the IL.
What'd I say?
Oh.
A right forearm issue, similar to Kiner Falefa. Impacts him more swinging than throwing. Sung Che Chang is being called up from AAA Worcester.
Unbelievable. Do you think that this is a minor physical issue that he will not play through, according to these?
Oh, boy.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him at all. I think they're just trying to get him out of the lineup.
Chad Tracy says he's been dealing with it for a while.
The phantom DL stint is what this is. IL stint. That's what I think.
Yeah, his willingness to play through inevitable minor physical issues. So isn't it weird that story comes out right before this happens?
Very weird.
I don't like that. Because now, as I said, the one thing I've been giving the Red Sox credit for is that there hasn't been any of this kind of like inner sniping and people talking trash on each other. It's been kind of quiet. And then there's also, you know, there's a side of you could say, well, is it because just nobody even cares? Mm. Are they being apathetic?
Right.
Are they just kind of coasting through all this and they just can't wait to go home and can't wait for the season's over? But this is bad. Like, this one's legitimately bad. Somebody in the organization is calling a player on this team, the worst thing you could call him, mentally and physically soft.
So do you think this report leads to the, as Savage Sports calls it, the Fenway flu? Or was it, or was he going to be on the IL, and then that's what caused this guy to talk to McAdam, and he's, you know, it's like a,
or
are they connected at all? Or
how about this? How about they knew that someone was going to have to, someone in the press was going to talk to Marcelo Meyer about this report, and they're like, best if you just don't come to the park today.
Oh, man. Well, I got to say, as the voice of the WooSox, I called a Sung Chae Chang cycle earlier this year.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, very nice.
So, excellent defensive shortstop, and he had a hell of a night when I saw him. So,
How's Bayo doing, by the way? I haven't been paying attention.
He's had a couple starts, and it's just been okay. I mean, just,
it's starting. Like, starting. Yes, yes. He is like first inning, he's out there.
Last outing was 5 innings. They gave up like a run, but the first inning was still a little bit wonky. So,
all right.
It's going to be a while.
Oh, God. It's going to be a while for him.
That's the depressing thing. You've got Christian Campbell, Bayo. Now Roman and Marcelo Meyer, you got your four young guys. None of them are playing. Like, none of them are in the bigs and playing and impacting your roster.
And one of them is being called soft
right.
in the organization. Well, that is
two of them. I mean, Roman, really. I mean, we've heard those whispers, maybe not so directly, but.
Boy, that's awful. As I said, that's the worst thing, and Ted would have said the same thing. That's the worst thing you can call an athlete is soft.
Part of what they said is not true, though. Like, Meyer, when he was in the minor leagues, was hurt all the time. But this year, he's played 70 out of 79 games. He's one of their most consistent like guys who posts just about every game. So, yeah, if he's going on the IL now, I would think. It just strikes me as something that you do when a guy's really slumping badly, which he clearly is. And he had, like, a whole breakdown in the field the other night. But, like, this to me is very, it seems very personal almost.
Yeah, but I hate to say it. I mean, he's hitting 220. I mean, are you going to miss him?
No.
He's not helping you win, so it's not like he's going to be missed currently in the short term.
He needs to go see Lorenzo.
I wonder if they threatened to send him down to AAA. Maybe that, you wonder if that's a possibility. He said, I'm not doing
it. Oh, my arm.
Yeah. I've got a stress fracture.
That could be the case. 617-779-7937. Our good buddy Jackson, Dale Ordway. Yeah, he had if you didn't see it before, truly a masterpiece, and he is following that up. Let's see if he's got that done, and we will get to that. And your take grenades next. Yes!
Wow. Straight edge X on the hand days.
Oh, this is snap case.
Mosh pit.
Oh.
Rich crowd surfing.
Playing with H2O and... some of the guys with the rat, probably, back in the day.
Sam Blackchurch.
Yes. No, Snapcase is legit. They are a great, great, great hardcore band.
Double bass drum?
I don't think so. I don't think they were a double bass hardcore band. I think they were just, like, straight up, like... No, I don't think that they crossed over into metal, although that's pretty effing heavy. Mm-hmm. No. I don't think they ever did that. But what a great band. What a good band. Oh, yes. All right. It is Rich, Ken, and Christian Arcan here at Fenway Park. We are broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by New England Ford Dealers and Employee Pricing for All. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, and that dirty water. You've been leaving messages for us. Take grenades over there on the Odyssey app, pressing that microphone button, and it's time to unleash them, shall we?
Incoming!
Yes, and our take grenades brought to you by Milligan and Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to milliganandhiggins.com. for a free consultation. All right, Stiz, let's launch our first one, shall we?
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I knew you were right. Believed in it so long. I'm all out of love. Hooters, we miss you. We're gonna build you up. Bring you back to life.
You know what? As good as that Hooters parody is, nothing touches Jackson. We might replay that.
Yeah, this guy's embarking on my territory here. Dale Ordway's territory.
No, thank you. Dale Ordway, listen, he's never... You're the Beatles. That is the Monkees, all right?
I love the Monkees.
Never be as good as you. All right, let's go to the next one.
What is going on in Boston sports right now? The Boston Bruins are aimless and in no man's land. The Red Sox are in the basement. And the Celtics... What is Brad Stevens doing? We're really in this position because we didn't want to give up a couple of role players, and now we're going to trade Jaylen Brown for picks? This is insane. Thank goodness we have the Patriots to look forward to in a couple of months. Can't get here soon enough.
How funny will it be if, like, we look back on this and you say, all you had to do was give up Baylor Shireman, Oh, and you'd have Giannis.
Aren't you going to watch Baylor and Hugo like with a close,
like a hawk?
Yeah, just like, yeah. Boy, these guys better be good, Brad.
I mean that is it. This whole thing is getting more absurd by the day.
And Shireman's already like 35. Didn't they draft him and he was like an old man, or he's like a fully developed guy?
Yeah, I it's going to be really freaking weird if they end up getting rid of Jaylen Brown and just getting picks, and we're sitting there watching Baylor, Shireman, and Hugo instead of freaking Giannis here. God.
But it all turns tonight, NHL draft, maybe a big Bruins trade. Dylan Larkin tonight, Arcan? Could this be like the night they swing something major?
No, because Larkin doesn't have – he has a no-trade list, right?
Yeah, he said, he might expand that.
Well, probably won't.
You convince him. You show him pictures of the Tartan Army and like all these great people in Lansdowne.
Tartan Army's in Florida, too.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like, the Bruins have kind of gotten off the hook over the last couple of months.
Big time,
though. No one's been talking about him, and it's because there's been so much other stuff going on. All right, let's go to the next Take Grenade show.
Lane Johnson at 41? Wait. 41 rank or 41 years old?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So what he's talking about there is that CBS Sports came out with the top 100 NFL players of 2026. And shockingly, like truly shockingly, Drake May, your runner-up for MVP, almost won MVP, is at number 61.
Not in the top 50.
61 on this list. And he's talking about how I found Lane Johnson was like number... Yeah, Lane Johnson was number 41. 36-year-old Lane Johnson at 41. 20 spots ahead of the guy who was the runner-up for MVP, Drake May.
Now, do you want to take the bait and get Pete Prisco on next week, or is that playing into
his
hands?
He's rage-baited us, I think.
He's totally.
Correctly, yeah.
Because even his explanation, because each one has like a two-sentence explanation of why they're where they're at. He put Drake May. He finished second in MVP voting in his second season, leading the Patriots to the Super Bowl. He threw 31 touchdown passes and just 8 interceptions, but he didn't play well in the postseason.
He knows what he's doing.
And there's a whole bunch of people like who are like lower on the list. When I mean lower, like closer to number one, who didn't even make the postseason.
Right.
But they didn't get punished.
Well, good. Drake May used it as fuel, just the way Jaylen Brown couldn't handle what did he say? They haven't catered to me.
Yeah.
JB was very upset.
I'm not joking. If I was Mike Vrabel, I would print that out and I would put that all over the locker room. There's not even a question. That is, there's like hot takes, and then there's straight up disrespect.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know what? A hot take would be Drake May at 35.
Yeah.
Disrespect is 61 and putting Lane effing Johnson 20 spots ahead of you.
And it's not even just Prisco. Like the ESPN football power preseason thing, they had the Patriots of 14. You know, like they're not getting any respect at all. The whole team's not getting respect.
But it's less personal when you do the team lower. I don't mind so much because then it's like, all right, we know their offensive line is a very big question mark. Their pass
rush.
Pre-AJ
Brown.
But when you call out Drake directly and say you're no good, then we get upset.
Well, there's let's see. Christian Gonzalez is the highest ranking one. He's at number 29, which is that's appropriate.
He has no contract.
Number 61 is Drake May. Number 64 is AJ Brown. Who else is on the? That's the only three. There's only three in the top 100.
Who else would merit even consideration from the past?
I mean, that's a great question.
I guess.
That's a great question.
I
don't think that's too crazy.
Ramondre? I don't know.
Hundreds of.
On Wenyu?
Yeah, I guess Ramondre.
You got a bunch of.
Milton Williams?
Yeah, maybe Milton Williams. Yeah.
He should be on there somewhere. I'm surprised he's not.
All right, let's go to the next one.
First off, why are we blaming Brad for getting punked by Jimmy Haslam? Second off, I think Brad backed out of the trade due to it representing a swing of 8 first-round picks. If you include Baylor and Hugo as first-round picks, the 2 picks we included and the 4 firsts we're expected to get for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, there's too much math. They blew this. They blew this so bad. Oh, it's so bad. They went for Giannis and then they had no plan B. And it's apparent they had no plan B. Because I thought for a minute plan B was going to be just kind of kiss and make up until Jaylen, it's going to be great, and then try to find some way to build around him and get like a big man. And, you know, you can get rid of Derek White and a couple other pieces to try to make it all work. But no, you're effed.
If they do trade him for 4 firsts, which has made you insanely upset.
As everyone should be.
Would you say they're in worse shape than the Red Sox and or Bruins?
Not the Red Sox. Not the Red Sox.
Red Sox would still be rock bottom. The Bruins just made the playoffs and overachieved. However, it's just their hopes to get any better are very limited.
Yeah, I mean, Tatum's still one of the best players in the league. So, I'd say that they're better than the Bruins.
Like, yeah, you're going to have Tatum. You're going to have another year of Tatum and the guys, you know, where it's like one star trying to get by.
But you're years from winning a championship.
Yeah.
Like if you trade Jaylen Brown for four first-round picks,
right?
How long until you're winning a championship?
Right, right.
Like Bruins are technically on the way up. The Celtics are technically on the way down.
Yeah, like that would be a massive, massive. You just got rid of a guy who's in an MVP conversation.
Right. Yeah.
What a massive downgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be. Because I don't know if it'd be worse yet. But they both lost in the first round. They're both first-round losers. The Bruins were expected to. The Celtics weren't. Yeah. So that's two teams going in different directions.
I need something to cheer me up. And you know what? What's so great about this is that there is a speaker that plays to the people outside. There's a huge line of people waiting to go in. I say we entertain them. Stiz, could you please play us the song that our good buddy Jackson, a.k.a. Dale Ordway, made about his favorite restaurant closing, and that being Hooters. Let's play it for the people outside, shall we? Let's roll.
Hey, Hooters, all I know is please don't go. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, please don't leave. How will these girls get degrees? Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, hear me sing. I love boobies and I love wings. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, it's goodbye. I've been going there since I can drive. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters.
It's like families.
Wonderful.
I can't even. My head is in my hands right now. I can't even. I can't believe that played outside for the people out there. I'm sorry, guys.
They're very happy.
I wish they would have recorded.
They all started dancing.
I wish they would have recorded a video of the families walking in.
Hey, Hooters.
Well, that was.
Hey, Hooters.
I just made a video of all the families walking in. Well, that was cranking.
I've never made myself cringe before, but I think that's the first time.
You made a lot of people outside cringe.
No, I think they're just trying to figure out what's going on. And they're like, where can I purchase this amazing song?
But, you know, it's time that we, as a society, faced it head on and realized this is what we had. We had Hooters. You know, it was here for a good run. Mm-hmm. You know,
and now it's gone.
Can't hide from it. This was part of our society.
There used to be a Hooters right by the Garden. You remember that?
Oh,
there was
yeah,
one on right on Street. The, on French Street. It was like the flagship one, I think. And then it was long gone. You know who worked there?
Who?
Playboy Crystal.
Oh,
remember her?
Day.
Yeah, she worked at that old, and I bartended with her years later. Wow. An old throwback.
And when you used to run into her, what did you say to her?
Say Hooters. Say Hooters. Say Hooters.
All right, maybe we break. Let's break, shall we? It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Christian Arcan here, and you can call us at 617-779-7937. That is the voice of Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show this morning, mentioning that Theo Epstein,
I love it,
has been in on some of these meetings.
He's involved. Now, I wanted to really argue with Arcan about this, but we brought it up to Bradfield in the first hour, and he was like, this doesn't mean anything. Theo's not doing anything. He's not involved. But which I don't know why he's hesitant to say that. I mean, what do you think, Rich? Do you think this means Theo's involved?
I think that John Henry has made a phone call to Theo and said, Theo, we need your help. Clean up this mess. And
which
I believe
great news, if so.
Yeah, if that's the case, sure. I mean, it's pressing the panic switch. But I believe that that's something that had to happen. If you're John Henry, that's really the one thing that you had to do at that point. Because on top of that, Theo was the one who brought in Craig Breslow. So right. I think it also may be part of, this is your mess, clean it up.
But did he really? I mean, they missed the first, 10 to 12 guys they tried to hire? So at that point, they were probably like, Theo, you got anybody? And he was like, okay, yeah, try Breslow. It's not like he pushed Breslow as their first pick.
Yeah, I know. But how crazy is it that this has become a crap job to have? To have that position in the Red Sox organization and have it be something that 11, 12 people passed on before it got to Craig Breslow is insanity.
That's actually a good story. Somebody should track down the first 10 candidates and ask them why they turned
yeah.
it down.
Like, why did you say no?
You were right. Like, boy, you made a great decision. Are you happy with yourself?
Because right. I knew this was going to happen, right? I knew I'd end up on the chopping block
right.
In a year or two or 3 years, whatever it is. The Theo thing, though, can I just say? Mm-hmm. Sounds an awful lot to me like the Jason Varitek people who were like, yeah, just fire Alex Cora, bring in Jason Varitek, and he's going to be the man. Now, the difference is Varitek's never managed before.
Correct.
Theo has run teams before, but Theo's been here for 2 years. You mean to tell me he's had nothing to do with any, Bradford, he has nothing to do with anything? He's sitting in on these meetings and not saying a word, not talking to his guy that he worked with in Chicago. There's been no input at all from Theo Epstein. He doesn't wear any of this. That's what you're telling me? Because I don't buy that. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think he has. I mean, Noah, the intern, had a message from him, right? And we can't, it was off the record, so we can't reveal what he said.
Right.
But it indicated to me, leave me out of this. I'm not involved. But I mean,
I don't want to be associated with it, which is different from I'm not involved in it. He's right. With Fenway Sports Group. Breslow's his guy. He never talks to Breslow, really? He doesn't have a single conversation with him?
Well, now Breslow's flat admitting he does have frequent conversations with him. So,
and he sits in meetings.
At what point did that start is the question I think we're haggling over here. I mean, I would like to think he's ramping up now, not he was responsible for the last 2 years of this mess, which I think is kind of what you're saying, Arcan. Maybe you're right. Maybe
last year wasn't a mess, though. Like, last year was a step in the right direction. Like, I felt like Theo, maybe his influence had something to do with last year. But if it had something to do with last year, it's got to have something to do with this year.
You know what I think? I think he's been neutered.
Breslow?
Breslow.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think right now, John Henry said, Theo, do me a favor. I want you calling the shots. I want you being an advisor. And they're keeping Breslow around as a human shield.
So I can be hopeful about this. I think that's good news, and
yeah,
I'm hopeful.
I'd be hopeful. If that means that Breslow's not making any more bad decisions, then yeah, you could feel good about it. And if it means that Theo is the one making the decisions, then even better. Mm-hmm. It just sounds to me the way he talked about it and the way Theo is more involved than we all thought it was. That
not our kids.
Well, yeah, of course. But I do believe that this could mean that Breslow is just there in name. He's there in human shield. Mm-hmm. To keep like the blame off of John Henry, because as soon as Breslow's gone, then there's no one left. You got to blame John Henry.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that could be good news. And okay. Yeah,
I'll buy that. That makes me feel better about keeping him around through the trade deadline and letting him, quote unquote, make the trades that he won't be around at the end of them for, you know, to deal with.
Yeah, it's just a weird place to be. And everyone seems to be, you know, heading to everyone's injured. And now there's like sniping. There are people calling Marcelo Meyer soft physically and emotionally. And that's the worst thing you can call somebody. And that's the worst thing that can leak out of a clubhouse is that there's other people, whether it's the, you know, the upper management or it's other players calling him soft. That sucks. And now all of a sudden he's injured, you know, which one thing leads to the other.
Which, of course, leads to texts like the one we got, which said, Marcelo's doing this to play video games with Roman all day.
Oh, jeez.
Because those two guys are like best buddies. People see him around
the
seaport. You know, there was some, Curtis said that there was some report that the Sox were upset that they were staying off campus in spring training together and they weren't living, you know, with the rest of the guys. But I think a lot of players do that in spring training. I mean, maybe not some of the younger players. Anyway, when you lose like this, it just brings all kind of drama to the surface. This is what happens.
All I know is that I'm excited that the new Jackass movie is the highest rated of all of them. 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, baby.
Jones and Keith did a thorough ranking of their top five Jackass skits of all time.
Oh, man, that would be so tough. I don't like the dangerous ones are interesting, but it's the absurd, silly ones that I like the best. Like, I love the giant high five, the one where they're walking down the hall and there's that massive hand that's on a spring that just smacks them right in the face. There's also that one, too, where... You know, there's like a note that they said that some girl left on the wall for them in their hotel, and they go like lean in to read it, and there's like a giant like glove that goes and punches them in the face. Like, that's pretty funny.
Both of them had the terror taxi and the butt X-ray, and I don't think I remember either.
Oh, well, the terror taxi is the one that had the guy from Broken Lizard in it, where they pretended he was being kidnapped by a terrorist, right?
Is that it?
It was at the end of one of the movies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that one. That was
and the butt X-ray is the one where, oh, gosh, I think it was Ryan Dunn had put an entire Matchbox car into his rectum, and they went into the doctors to get an X-ray, and he goes, something's killing me. I don't know what it is. And they did that. There's like a Matchbox car in there. That was pretty funny. No, there was one in the last movie that was fan-effing-tastic. It was great. It was what happened was, they brought a couple of the new cast members in this room, and there was a box of snakes at the front of the room, and there was like a snake handler there, and he was just like, hey, we're going to do this bit with you guys with a snake. And like, oh, no. And all of a sudden, the lights went out, and you heard the table knock over. But the thing was that they thought that there was like a snake loose, but what it really was that they had put all these contraptions around the room, like, and it was like the Silence of the Lambs night vision glasses while they're freaking out. But in the background... Chris Pontius is doing the dude from Silence of the Lambs. He's tucked his crotch. He's tucked his thing between his legs, and he's doing the dance. Wow. And they don't know what's happening in the background. See, that's when they're at their best.
Jones and Keefe also both had the golf course air horn where they were
that
like,
was
surprising
I remember that
people
one.
On the golf course.
That's an original. Like, that was hilarious. That's like from the early days of Jackass. There is a new one in the latest movie where it's a recurring bit where they do the cup, the what's it called? Like the nut cup protection test. And in the most recent one, you know, they had, oh gosh, Danger Aaron, and he had one on his crotch. And they first started it off with the best women's softball pitcher, just rifle one right into his nuts. And he's like, oh. And then they ended up having Francis Ngannou, who is like one of the toughest UFC fighters, like uppercut him right in the cup. But then the worst part was, PK Subban rifled like a bunch of slap shots into his crotch. And then they had him lie on his back and a guy with a pogo stick came out. Yeah. It was truly, what's that? What's that? Oh, okay. So there's something up here there. Okay. But yeah, the Jackass movies are pure joy. And I'm sad that they're all old, and I'm sad that they're not going to make them anymore, but what are you going to do?
And that dude had kids too after that. Can you believe that?
Wow. Oh, the guy who got the pogo stick to the nuts.
Yep.
Yeah. They did that in like slow motion, and they showed just how bad it was. It was not good. Supergirl's not getting very good reviews.
Oh,
awful. Think about seeing that. Yeah. It's like 54%.
Oh, Rich, like Obsession comes to digital June 30th. So
I'm in. Okay. I'm in. Can't wait. I've been waiting to see that for a while, more than anything. By the way, I don't know if I said this. If you're looking for a TV show, Widow's Bay. Mm-hmm. Great show. Great show. I'm only 5 episodes in, and I think it's only 10 episodes, but it's got like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And you
too,
said it's so. Like horror comedy?
Yeah, it's like a really funny like horror show about this small island in Maine that they're trying to make like a tourist destination. And it's got a lot of actors that you've seen before. It's like the people who made the show Atlanta, also Parks and Recreation are in it. So it's the perfect mix of weird and kind of David Lynch and funny. It's a very, very good show. Widow's Bay. That's the next one you should watch. All right. Should we take one last call before we go, or do we need to wrap up?
You can do it.
All right. Let's go to Ryan in the Cape. What's up, Ryan? How's it going?
Hi, Ryan.
Don't you think if Craig Breslow was neutered of all his like responsibilities, wouldn't any regular person just resign? I just think that's kind of like a foolish way to look at it. You know, I don't think CEO's running the team. I think it's Breslow. If Breslow had his responsibilities stripped, he would just resign.
Thanks, I think guys. He likes money.
Yeah, he likes money, and he wants his reputation restored. So why quit now? Now you can rebuild it with Theo's help and, you know, hopefully regain confidence.
Yeah, like how great would it be if Theo came in, saved your job, like made you look good. Everyone thinks you're the one doing it, even though it was Theo, the puppet master behind the scenes, and you're getting paid. Right. Yeah, why would you? No, I wouldn't resign. What are you, crazy?
He seems like a nice enough guy. It's not like he's adversarial. I mean, he's, you know, when you talk to him, he's
not adversarial with us. He fired everybody who ever looked at him wrong.
Well,
though. I mean, that's
he did fire Cora.
he seems like a weirdo. Come on.
And the scout that had his mic on the Zoom that shouldn't have had it.
Well, this break is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate it now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K.
Ken and Curtis, 10 to noon tomorrow, by the way, here at Fenway.
Hell yeah. Very nice. Christian Arcan, awesome. Always
great job,
love having
man. Great to be here.
Noah, great job this week, my friend. Stiz back in the station, always killing it, making us sound good, polishing this turd.
Celebrity out and about, too, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Stiz getting recognized out there. And, of course, our own Dale Ordway, Toon Smith, the great Jackson.
Shooting
hey,
up the Billboard chart.
Hey, Hooters. I'm going to be saying that all day. Everybody, have yourself a great weekend. We will see you all on Monday. Goodbye.
Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters.